From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Voice actors are heard but not seen. They're the people who breathe life into cartoon characters. The most famous was the late Mel Blanc, who was the voice of Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, and countless more. Another was Dawes Butler. He supplied voices for many characters in the Hanna-Barbera TV menagerie.
Yogi Berra, you're on. This is Alive.
Boy, oh boy, am I surprised.
Do you recognize these voices?
Hi, y'all, Yogi Berra.
Why, it's Pixie and Dixie. I haven't seen her for 5 minutes.
And here's another voice. I like you, but I hate Mises to pieces.
It's Jinxie!
Those voices, Huckleberry Hound, Yogi Bear, and many, many more, are all Dawes Butler, who died in 1988. Butler also passed on his craft to others. He taught workshops and wrote practice scripts for students to use. Here's an example of one performed by Dawes Butler in both roles.
Hello.
Hello.
I am the world's greatest actor.
That's what you say.
It's the truth.
What's your name?
Everybody knows my name.
I don't.
Joe Bevilacqua is a former Dawes Butler student. He's now collected many of those scripts in a new book. It's a way for voice actors of the future to get tips from a master on what it takes to make animated characters, well, more animated.
He was teaching you every single thing you need to know about acting, not just voice acting, but good acting. And the fact that acting comes from your entire body and all these little technical things about tripping over in your line to make yourself sound natural so that you start a phrase and then you sort of leap in energy.
Dawes Butler also made recordings of his technique that he would make available to students.
Yes.
Very, very precise, and we have some of them with us to demonstrate.
What I'm going to give you now are examples of my dialect technique, but going more on the musical pattern of the particular national that I'm imitating, the lip and jaw placement, the resonating chambers across the cheekbones, the body movements, which, in more physically demonstrative nationals, affects the rhythm and the stress of their speech. I'll explain as I go along, and perhaps what I'm doing will rub off on you. First, British. You know, now there's a diphthong. I think of the diphthong as being sort of a S on its side, and with the British, it's like a long S. With the Cockney, it's a little shorter, more abrupt. You know, and the Cockney might say, you know, you see?
An amazing amount of detail in that instruction.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing he would do. We'd sit around, he'd pull out these scripts that he wrote specifically for the workshop, and he'd hand them out to everyone. And, a couple of people would do it, and then he would stop and say, okay, now I'm going to show you how I would do it, and then the master would read it.
Now, this is a very stuffy person. If creativity is the prerogative, then celebrate in song and story the sustenance the muse will bring.
The voice is forward. You taste words. I feel that the sensitivity of my nerve endings in the lips is very, very marked. The jaw doesn't move too much. The tongue is on the roof of the mouth, pretty much. It doesn't go between the teeth.
A lot of it is also very physical in terms of his instruction.
Yeah, he was very big into that, and that you taste the words, you love the words, you take them off the paper and you make them your own, and then you say them as if the thought had just occurred to you.
The thing that's interesting about dialects or any characterization is that articulation, stress, equal emphasis, juxtaposed in any order, seems to work as long as you believe and feel the characterization and the meaning and the gut level extension of it. So that I could say, I've tried to appear otherwise, and with some success. Then I could reverse it and say, I've tried to appear otherwise, and with some success.
You see that, you know, he was more than a cartoon actor. This man was sort of the Stanislavski of cartoons. And it's not just changing your voice, which a lot of people can do. It's really becoming the character physically, trying to think like the character, and bringing forth the personality of the character.
Here's another example. This is Dawes Butler on the proper Brooklyn accent, which probably a lot of people think they know how to do, and they're wrong.
One thing you have to be aware of in doing the Brooklyn is to stay away from the obvious, like 33rd and Boyd and Foist. If you want to use it, I think it's a softening of that sound. It's like 33rd, 33rd, Foist, Chase. I had to make a choice. It isn't Chase. I had to make a choice. One of the most important things to remember, I think, is the looseness of the speech. the running together of lines. It's an attitude. It's a shoulder shrug. It's a physical dialect.
Who taught Dawes Butler to do what he did?
He taught himself. He was a shy kid. He's very, very short. He was 5'2", not in the best health, and was always picked on when he was a kid, and he discovered that if he started making them laugh, the typical thing with the comedians always say, you know, if you made the bully laugh, they wouldn't beat you up. And he started sort of imitating the physical aspects of movie stars he would see, people like W.C. Fields, Charles Laughton, and he found that if he could look like the character, he could sound like the character. And that sort of began his development towards this, and eventually he got into radio. You know, I mean, radio in the 40s was the place to be, and when he first hit Los Angeles, he became one of these working actors who did multiple characters in a show. He worked on Suspense and Inner Sanctum and The Whistler. Dawes invented these voices for Yogi Bear, Huckleberry Hound, Quick Draw McGraw, and Mr. Jinx long before those characters were ever drawn or put on television. So they really drew those characters to characters that he created vocally 10, 20 years earlier.
Joe Bevilacqua, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Joe Bevilacqua is an actor and radio producer. With radio historian Ben Omart, he edited Scenes for Actors and Voices, a collection of practice scripts written by the late Dawes Butler, the voice of many characters, including Huckleberry Hound and Yogi Bear. You can listen to more about Butler at NPR.org.
Kellogg's, your best choice in cereals. The best to you each morning brings you...
Who else?
Yogi Bear.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to Jellystone Park. For the first time on TV, we will show a bear as he wakes up. We got to be careful, because these critters are cranky after a long winter sleep.
Nice!
What did I tell you? He sounds plenty cranky.
Good morning. The best of you each morning.
Oh, Mr. Bear.
Yogi is the name, sir.
I thought you were supposed to wake up cross as a bear.
Always do, until I have my Kellogg's cornflakes. Have some.
I've had my Kellogg's cornflakes already. They help me get growing.
And they help me get going. A Kellogg's, good morning.
Where are you going now?
Back to bed, so as I can wake up again and have some more of that good Kellogg's cornflakes. The best to you each morning.
Oh, Yogi.
You call Uncle Walter?
Well, how do we get to see a cartoon in this thing?
All Yogi can do, keep your eye on the canoe. Hey!
What a bear.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.